meeting is now being recorded.
Let's get down to business.
Oh, we're a minute past the appointed 15 of the hour. Yeah, I've got back-to-back calls as well, Mature, so hard stops are fairly important. Cheryl.
Hi, everyone. Can we remember to mute our mics if we're not speaking? Thank you.
everyone. This is Sam Eisner from I Can Legal. thanks for taking the time to set this meeting out. We've been working closely with Sidley and Adler on continuing to move forward on the bylaws. And Holly and Rosemary, are you each on the call?
Yes.
Okay, great. So, Holly, do we want to maybe discuss this the way we did last week where you took the group through the additional questions that we had sent?
I will try. I may have Rebecca take us through the CWG-related ones, but certainly.
Okay. Brian, did you have the question document that was circulated last night?
Yeah, we do have it. We have it.
Okay. And then, Brenda or Grace, is that something you can project into the room?
Sorry, Sam. You want, I had to unmute. So to project the document into the room?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, great. 1 second.
Thanks.
I also wonder, Sam, if it's worth giving the group in general some flavor of the progress that we've been making.
Yes, I think so. I imagine they'd be happy to hear. Do you want to start on that, Holly?
Yeah, you know, just very generally, drafts have been of various sections of the bylaws for both CWG and CCWG have been flying fast and furious between the legal teams. It's a very cooperative tone. People are working really hard. We look like we're going to have something for you on the deadline that you can all then review and weigh in on. It will need certainly, you know, global proofreading, and, you know, we haven't yet had time to look at it as a whole because we're focusing on individual sections. But given the very short time frame to get this done in, I'm pretty pleased with how it's coming along. It all a long way of saying that it won't be the final polished product that we will expect at the time that you see it, but it reflects a lot of hard work from the teams and a lot of cooperation. So, Sam, I don't know if you have anything to add to that. Or Rosemary.
Just we'll continue to work on it, at, you know, after we send the draft on Saturday to do all that final polish and cleanup. I don't think we yet have an exact estimated time for when we could get that done, but it'll probably take a few days. Does that sound about right?
I think it'll be a process during the time that that CCWG and the bylaws subgroup are reviewing it. So,
and Holly, just to add to that, and I'm not sure this is the right time to discuss it. Maybe it's something for closer to the end of the call, but I know that we've anticipated that there might be questions that we've provided to the bylaws coordination group that aren't fully resolved yet, but we still want to make sure that we get the bylaws packet out to the community for that initial review, and this, of course, would be before the public comment starts. So we did want to talk to the bylaws coordination group a bit about how it would continue working and making answering some of those small questions while the groups had the bylaws under review before the public comment opens.
Okay. So I guess let's turn to the questions now. These are questions that we sent to you, and our apologies. I know that they came, you know, last night. The first one regards enforcement, and we just want confirmation that the decision whether to trigger an enforcement process is made by the decisional participants who supported the exercise of the community power. And this is in the event that the board has failed to comply with a request by the empowered community to use a community power. Any discussion?
Holly?
Yes.
This is Bernie. I thought Mathieu would be on. I've had some communications with the CCWG on this, and it seems that the preferred mode of decision would be to use the same process as is used for the IRP before going to help the community decide if it should go into a mediation followed by IRP.
Bernie, just to let you know, in the Adobe room, Mathieu's hand is up. So Mathieu, I don't know if you want to.
Okay, great.
Well, I think Bernie was perfectly on spot on the conversation we've had, and Jordan Carter was the lead in the in this part of the CCWG report, and he cannot join because obviously it's quite an uncomfortable hour for his time zone. But I think we there's this level of discomfort in introducing the notion that a decision could be made by only the decisional participants who support a power. And we believe that it's interesting to flag this issue as maybe not fully resolved in the report, but stick to the existing escalation process. It seems to us to be in the spirit of the report as it's been designed, although we are aware that it's creating longer delays.
Okay, that's fine. That's very clear. And that's fine. You know, that's absolutely fine. It means that there's essentially two escalation processes. The escalation at first to use the community power, and then when it gets sort of refused and blocked, an escalation path to decide what kind of enforcement process. And that's absolutely fine. Thank you for the clarity. Okay. The next one relates to a request. The next question relates to a request from the CWG Stewardship Design Team that the IANA budget, around the IANA budget. And it's a request that we include in the bylaws language relating to a 3-year reserve for PTI-related expenses and contingencies. As you know, the final proposals for both CWG and CCWG contemplated that there's an annual IANA budget that the community, the empowered community, gets to weigh in on. The request for this rolling 3-year reserve was not specifically contemplated by either the CWG or the CCWG final proposals, and it hasn't been a subject of public comment or review. So we want guidance on how we should address this request. Any comments? I see Caboose has his hand up.
Hello, do you hear me?
I do.
I don't think that there is any rationale behind this proposal to have a reserve 2-year budget put aside for the PTI operations. PTI operation is not totally disconnected from the entire ICANN operation. It is affiliated, and I don't think that if there is any problem in the ICANN totally having 2 years budget for IANA function operation by PTI would resolve the whole issue. If there is a problem is everywhere, and I don't think that there is any rationale or any strong argument. And even the practicality of this having 2 years budget aside for IANA functions operations. This is an operational matter, and I think before going further, we need to ask or request the ICANN to provide the information. And even if there is any necessity, I don't think that we should include that in a bylaw. It is an operational issue and has nothing to do with the fundamental issue to be put into the bylaw. Thank you.
Lise, I see your hand is up.
Yes, thank you. Lisa Fool, one of the two co-chairs of the CWG. We have discussed the principle of having a fund or money set aside for IANA services and that, or PTI, but and that has been agreed by the group as such. So when the design team brings this forward to the bylaws coordination group, it's more to, in a timely fashion, bring this up and actually try and have a bylaw drafted, even though it's not been decided by the CWG. We will actually discuss it later at our call today. If we think it should be a bylaw or not, but we have supported the principle of having this kind of financial autonomy and money to cover a reserve fund. Thank you.
Thank you, Lise. I see that, Greg, you have your hand up. Greg Shatton.
Thanks. This is Greg Shatton for the record. I think Caboose actually stated the reason why it is important to have this reserve, because we do intend there to be a certain amount of financial autonomy, or at least separation, between PTI and ICANN. Not quite as much as if it were, say, a bankruptcy-proof or bankruptcy-remote vehicle, but the idea is that it should be able to sustain any financial issues that occur at ICANN without necessarily even noticing them, which is the idea for a separate reserve. Furthermore, as Lisa notes, this is something that's coming out of the CWG, so I think, at this point it becomes an implementation question. How to implement it, whether it goes into the bylaws or not, but certainly the idea is to cement it in there, and it's one of the kind of key criteria of the PTI ICANN relationship. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Cheryl, I see your hand up.
Thank you, Holly. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. Following on from Lise and Greg, who have the right of it, I can assure you. As one of the active participants in DTO, we have been talking about this, we have been advising this, and we have had this discussed in CWG for a significant amount of time, and certainly before we went to publication for our CWG recommendations. So let's make sure we're really clear. This is not a new and sudden concept. However, it is clearly implementation, and we may indeed be able to deal with it under implementation. And I want to compliment to the record the excellent work that Xavier and his team are already doing with DTO on this matter and other related issues. That said, DTO will be discussing this further in the CWG call following on with this call. CWG may get back to us with a committee of the whole opinion, but that opinion, should it be that they feel it needs to be some sort of bylaw, I would like to think light touch, if needed at all, it was important to have it flagged to the bylaw drafting team. That was the intention when we passed the message on via Becky. But let's not cloud the issue with this is new. This is not new. This has been long-standing discussion. Certainly, it may very well be dealt with purely under implementation. But let's see what happens with the CWG call to follow. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. And I see that Shireen has her hand up. Shireen?
Yeah, hello, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for weighing in a little bit late on this topic. I only have to make. One is, I'm not clear how this 3 year would fit in with the caretaker budget, because the caretaker budget guarantees on an annual basis there is fund and continuity for the IANA budget. Second point I'd like to bring to your attention that if we put something into the bylaws, we have to be clear that in the event of a separation, or let's say the annual cost is about 8 to 10 million. So let's say we create a reserve fund of 25 million. That if there is a separation, that the new operator doesn't have the right to take that whole 30 million or so with them. I'd like to just put this for consideration. So we need to have some protection into the bylaws. It's not as straightforward as that. And thirdly, I think creating more funds is more complicated. We already have a reserve fund in ICANN. What we could do is consider that the reserve fund is sufficiently of the size that can cover those 3 years rather than create another separate fund. Those are points as input for the discussion. I have not personally reached the conclusion whether it is in the bylaws or not, although I am more leaning towards this is an operational matter. We already have the caretaker budget, and I'd be happier with a bigger reserve fund, including in that an amount for the IANA fund. Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you all. That's very good input. And I see that Mathieu made the point that this really isn't the point to substantively weigh in on this issue. We raised it simply because it was a matter that was not clearly put forward in the CWG proposal. We will draft a light touch bylaw for consideration in the first instance by the, I guess, the CWG stewardship design team and for this group. So I think that that's the direction that we have based on the conversation here. And I guess a final consideration of how it gets included can be left for another conversation. But we will go ahead and draft that light touch for you to take a look at. And the final issue also relates to a topic that isn't set forth in the CCWG proposal. And it relates to, you know, currently ICANN has policies that provide limitations on who can serve as a director. So, for example, the chair of an SO or an AC can't also serve on the board of directors. So we wanted to confirm that the chairs of the decisional participants and also the persons who may be designated in their stead to serve on the EC Chairs Council, which is the group that actually makes sure that the empowered communities' wishes are implemented, that those people cannot be nominated or serve on the ICANN board. And this would be consistent, as I said, with other provisions in the current bylaws, which we've set forth in the document on the second page. I'd like to open that issue up for your input and guidance. The notion here is that you know, it's meant to try to avoid the conflicts of having decisional participants on the, you know, the chairs of those groups and key folks who are implementing the empowered community's wishes also on the board of directors. And clearly it's not a blanket prohibition for all time. It doesn't mean that if you once served as a chair of an AC or SO that's a decisional participant that you could not become a director at some point when you're no longer serving in that role for the AC or SO. I see Shireen has reflected it makes sense to avoid a conflict of interest. We thought that this was in line with, you know, the notion of avoiding conflicts, avoiding the appearance of conflict. I see Cheryl agrees. I see that Mathieu has his hand up. And so, Mathieu.
Yes, thank you very much, Holly. I fully agree on the principle of avoiding conflicts of interest here. My point is also to stress that notion of a council of chairs or whatever the name is part of, definitely part of the implementation. I think I understand it was a construct that came in the exercise of drafting the bylaws. Because it has the name council, it just gives an idea of power, concentration of power. So I would encourage the drafting teams, the lawyers, to provide some clarity, comments, notes, I don't know, that explain exactly why there is a need for a council. You know that in our groups there has been a lot of discussions about avoiding concentration of powers, avoiding specific groups to be empowered and specific individuals. So it's certainly a notion that we'll need to educate about if we really need it. So that's a confirmation on your question, but it also raises the need for clarity on the CCWG side as well, at least, on why this group is absolutely required. I hope that's clear. Thanks.
That's very clear, and we agree. It is absolutely necessary, and there is a memo that we can point you to. We also note that it is contemplated specifically in the CCWG proposal in relationship to the IRP, but it is needed more broadly to make sure that the you have to have someone make sure that the decisions of the community get implemented. Now, it's really a pass-through. There's not a lot of action that this group has to do, but they have to make sure that, you know, a notice is given to the community, things get posted. It's very, very ministerial. It's not a decision body. And so we will make sure that that's clear. It's drafted with a very light touch in the bylaws, but we had to have something in the bylaws. We could not leave it fully for an implementation stage. It's a placeholder in the bylaws. You'll be able to expand on it, and we agree fully with all of your points, and we're very sensitive to the concerns about the community that this could be, that they don't want it to be a center of power, if you will. So, Caboose, I see that you have your hand raised. Caboose, would you like to weigh in? We're not
separation
hearing.
Of powers, and I fully agree that we have to properly address that into the bylaw, that these decisional-making persons could not be in the management or in the executive power. The only thing is that it should be associated with some time limit, whether it is in 5 years or X years. I remember there was some time frame associated with that, but I don't recall exactly the time, so it must be associated with some time. Thank you.
Caboose, I apologize. I didn't get the point of time frame associated with what? Time frame for serving on the EC Council?
Yes, my point was that people involved in the decisional making could not serve as a director of in the ICANN, but perhaps we should put some time within 5 years of their last participation in the decisional making, or within X years of that. After that, if they are not involved, they are candidate or they are available to be that. So we should say that it is not forever, it is just for time, until the time they are in decision making, and after that, for some time also, they should not participate in the directorship before, because they have been involved in decision making for some time. This is something in all organizations as such, that if somebody is holding a position in the in the legislatives, it could not be in the executives for after some years. There could be, but for some years, even if they are not in the legislative, still they could not. So we should have some time associated with that. I don't know whether I explained it properly, or still you need further explanation.
No, I understand it now. I want to point out that the current provisions that are in the current bylaws around no person who serves on an SO council can serve as a director or liaison, I don't believe there's a time frame around that. I believe it's about simultaneous service. I also note the point that this would be a new requirement that's not in the CCWG proposal. Question whether a discussion around time period should be left for further discussion and implementation. And we could begin with the provision of, right now it can't be simultaneous. I don't know how people feel about that. I see that Greg Shatton's hand is up.
Thanks, Holly. Greg Shatton for the record. I agree. We should not go on and make new requirements here. We should mirror the existing one, which is simultaneous service is prohibited, but not moving from one to the next. You know, take, for example, would you want to disqualify Jonathan Robinson from being on the board of ICANN for 5 years, or Byron Holland, James Bladel. It doesn't make sense. The idea is to avoid people wearing two hats at the same time, not to kind of insulate the board from the community, or to disqualify the most active and respected members of the community from serving on the board. So I think we should just mirror what we have here in Article 6, Section 4.2, and move, and just go there. Anything beyond that is beyond the remit of this organization, to say the least, of what we're doing. And I think actually is counterproductive and counterintuitive. Thank you.
Okay, and I see some agreement with that in the chat, and some clarification from Sam Eisner around what the current provisions provide. And I take it, Greg, that's your old hand. So if there are no more comments on that, those are the outstanding issues we had. I do note that there are probably some more outstanding issues coming down the pike. We are going through the CWG draft bylaws and have some questions that we will be sending to you all in the next 24 hours or so. I also know that Becky has circulated some language about a potential new language on the regulation issue, and I know that we've just gotten it, and as has ICANN Legal, and would like some time to think about it before having a discussion with the group. But is there anything else we should be talking about on this call? Any other business? I don't know, Rosemary or Sam, if you have anything, or anyone in the group. Greg, is that a new hand?
Yes, it's a new hand. Just trying to think, since we're going straight from here to the CWG IANA meeting, just to kind of reset what we need to bring from here to there in terms of, we have one of our co-chairs on the line. She may already have that completely under control, but I thought nonetheless might make sense if we were to make sure that we're bringing the right things back to the CWG.
We need more time. I mean, we've got some very sort of broad parameters about questions, but they may get resolved when we pass them by ICANN Legal, and so it's a little bit premature for me to raise them with you. We had sent you, Rebecca, did we get all the answers that we needed from them on the old punch list?
No, I think that was going to happen on the call.
Oh, okay. So there's one issue. Rebecca, do you recall what it is? We had sent you, I think you have some issues that you're going to be discussing on the call that we sent you I think yesterday. I don't have them in front of me. I apologize. They were very, fairly simple. Yeah. I'm sorry. We're gonna have to circulate a draft later today. I see there's a comment from Caboose.
Yes. If I remember, we have not decided on this issue of reserve account and inclusion of that in the bylaw. There are two different issues. Having a reserve account for 3 years or each year is one issue, and cross-referencing and putting that in the bylaw is another issue. I have no difficulty with the first one, but I have serious difficulty to put it in the bylaw because of the nature of the issue, which is operational. So I think you have not yet decided if there is anything to be go back to the CWG, could say that the issue was discussed at this group, but they have not decided yet whether it should be a X years budget, and second, whether or not it should be in the bylaw. This has not yet been decided. Am I right or wrong?
So, Caboose, I think when looking at the other comments that were made, we agreed that we would draft a very light touch bylaw for consideration so that we have something to look at. And I think that that was where I understood the center of the comments to be. Greg, is that a new hand or an old hand?
Sorry, that one is an old hand.
In that case, we don't have anything else. Lise has indicated in the chat that she has the questions that we've sent around supermajority and 30 Dave. I think those are going to be very straightforward. So thank you. I think we can close the call.
Thanks, Holly. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
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 Bye.